Hey guys, it's the Left 4 Dead Sound. I can't even speak right now. It's the Left 4 Dead Podcast.
We're
going to
start this over in 3, 2.
No, it's the Left 4 Dead Extra. What's up, guys? We didn't actually have a show yesterday because of cars and flat tires and $500 down the hole. But we won't go into that. We'll say congratulations to our special guest who isn't going to appear until probably next week now. Hopefully. Mikey Chase for... he just had his first kid, so congratulations to you, Mikey. Hopefully you'll be on next week. But we couldn't leave you guys hanging. So I grabbed Ryan, and Chris is probably going to make little noises in the background that sound like authentic.
Maybe.
Yeah. Like sound like
to,
a lot of authentic.
Chris is here
so.
To fight Uruks.
Yeah. It sounds like real Middle Earth stuff in the background. I apologize for that. Ryan doesn't know how to turn down his TV.
Oh, but, I've got the headset on. You could have just told me that my TV was too loud.
Well, the authentic Middle Earth sounds, or the... could have, you know... I was trying to be vague and not be, like, a douchebag and be like, hey, turn down your fucking TV, asshole.
Do you not know me? By all means, be a douchebag.
That's true.
It's not like I'm not used to it.
But instead of doing a regular show, you know, Ryan and I do a little extra here and there. And with the state of superhero movies, holy shit. In the last, what, week? 2 weeks? It's been a complete shitstorm when it comes to rumors and facts and everything else.
Yeah, let's just say Marvel and DC are in the biggest war right now.
It's not a war. It's a dick measuring contest. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Marvel has that really controlling girl or really nagging girlfriend named Fox. But we'll get into that in a second. Let's start off.
Yeah, there's behind the scenes drama.
it's amazing. But let's start off with Robert Downey Jr.
Okay, so there were rumors going out that Robert Downey Jr. confirmed there would be an Iron Man 4. Then, psych, no, there wouldn't be. And what it seems to be still rumors is that it's not that there's going to be an Iron Man 4, kind of like there isn't coming out next year a Superman 2.
Yeah.
In other words, Cap 3 is going to be more Cap v. Iron Man.
But let's just before that was... introduced that Robert Downey Jr. would be in Cap 3. A little thing that Robert Downey Jr. said to the Tribune or some like maybe it was Total Film, I'm not sure. They had an interview with him and he said that superhero films were getting tired. And I think he was saying, you know, we all know the story. This thing happens to this guy, makes him a superhero and he's got to fight the bad guy. You know, and then the story goes on. And I think he was basically talking about origin stories.
Yeah.
Because origin stories are always fucking there. And, you know, we've had 2 Spider-Man origin stories in 10 years. Or some shit like that. Maybe 12 years.
That's why it's hard to get, at least for me, it's hard to get excited when they introduce a new character. Because it's like, well, here comes the shitty part one movie.
Exactly. And I think... I kind of think that DC was thinking about that beforehand, where they're just like, you know what, Batman is done, and give DC all the shit that you want to give DC. They do their movies like they do their comics. All right, Batman doesn't look the same from a Frank Miller comic to, like, the Alan Moore comic. You know, Jim Lee's Batman doesn't look like Alex Ross's Batman. So change.
Well, also DC frequently reboots their entire continuity.
That's true, but going with the, you know, just the artist's renderings of different things. You know, Steve Ditko is not going to look like John Romita Jr.'s Spider-Man. They're going to, you know, same visual. It's not going to be the same visual style. It's going to be the same character, but not the same visual style. Peter Parker is going to look completely different in a Ditka book than it does in a fucking Romita book. Am I right?
That doesn't seem to stop fans online from complaining whenever a movie comes out that the costume doesn't look right.
Yeah, I know. But the way that DC has been doing it up till now is that when they reboot a franchise and give you, you know, Batman Begins and shit like that, Superman, or Man of Steel, with the new actor, they kind of had this thing where, you know, we have a run with this actor because unlike comic books, you know, pictures don't get older, actors do. And I think also that's part of why Robert Downey Jr. was saying what he did. Because, you know, the guy's in his 50s and he's still playing a superhero who has to be, you know, super. What's going to happen when Chris Evans gets to that age? you know, Chris Hemsworth gets to that age. You know, what's going to happen to that character when you can't suspend your disbelief that, hey, Grandma Scarlet Witch can't do magic anymore? I was going to go with Black Widow, but I think the imagery stands. We get older. It's just a fact of life. Images don't get older.
Speak for yourself.
Yes, Grandpa? What'd you say?
I personally will live forever.
Yes, but having your brain put it into a robot isn't really, you know, living in the same form.
You know nothing of my plans.
I know everything of your plans. I wrote them. You stole them. Those were my plans first. But damn you, copyright laws. All right. But so with that being said, you know, yes, the superhero franchise is getting a little winded, let's say.
Well, that's because I think both these companies, but especially Marvel, kind of realizes that comics are a medium, not a genre in and of themselves. And the way to stay fresh is to tell different types of stories that just happen to use these fantastic characters.
And that's a great segue into the next point I wanted to make, is that that's what's making this interesting. Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier. Freaking espionage film. It's not even a superhero film anymore. Yes, it has, you know, superhero elements to it, and Captain America is, you know, he's a super soldier, and he can run really fast, and, you know, make the Falcon look like a little bitch when it comes to running. But That film is an espionage.
And he has the shield. And
yeah, he's got the shield and everything, but the film is an espionage thing. You know,
yeah,
they,
he's kissing the Black Widow to hide from pursuers, like just to look like a couple in a mall. And
Black Widow with the frickin' Mission Impossible mask thing going on.
Yeah.
Which they actually used in the latest episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
Which was kind of cool. But, you know, we have, these things aren't, the characters aren't tired, it is the way that they're going about it, with origin stories and such like that. We're probably going to see an Avengers that's, Avengers 2, that's more horror film than actual, you know, superhero film. With, you know, just with what we know of Ultron. You know, this story is not going to be about the Avengers as much as it is about Ultron. And that's a good thing. Ultron should scare the shit out of you. With James Spader's voice and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately they can't use adamantium, which Ultron is made out of.
But he could just as easily be made out of vibranium, or if they want to add... I don't know if they can do carbonadium.
That I don't know either.
But honestly, vibranium is just as good.
Yeah, vibranium
for their purposes.
One thing that I really find funny about vibranium, so Cap Shield is made out of vibranium, right?
Yep.
Vibranium does what?
Vibrate.
No. It it cancels out vibrations.
Oh, my bad.
When that's
I don't
why
a whole lot of Black Panther.
That's why it's kind of it's a bulletproof thing. They can have a small layer of vibranium over glass, so you can still see through it, but it makes the glass bulletproof because it absorbs the vibrations of the bullet. And Ryan, let's go back to a little bit of real world science. What makes sounds?
Vibrations.
So why does Captain America's shield make sounds when it hits somebody?
Why does it make sounds when he throws it?
Yeah, okay. Just saying.
It's a movie thing, I guess.
Yeah, I know. I find that always funny. That, you know, his shield makes a sound when, like, somebody hits it or bullets bounce off of it. Thor's hammer hits it. Yeah, little things
yeah,
like
that's
that.
That's interesting. Well, Thor's hammer is stronger than vibranium.
It did not break the shield.
It's because he didn't charge it with lightning first.
Is that what happened? Okay.
I have no answers for you, Ted.
So, if Thor is holding his hammer and the Hulk picks up Thor, does that mean that the Hulk can now wield the hammer of Thor?
No.
You sure?
I don't know, though. Was curse worthy?
I don't know.
Remember in Thor 2? Or Thor the Dark World?
Yeah.
He called Mjolnir and curse just bitch slapped it to the side? And that's not quite the same as picking it up and wielding it, but he changed his damn trajectory.
Yeah, he did do that. Food for thought.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get into...
Well, curse was dedicated to his cause.
So, Ryan, which dickery do you want to get into first? Because there's a lot of dickery going on between both sides, the big M and DC. Which dickery? Because it's both on good causes for us, but... Where would we like to
go
first?
I guess the Civil War non-dickery is probably the fun speculation we could start with.
Okay. So, Civil War.
This kind of seems to feed into all the rumors we're hearing about how they're going to film Avengers 3 and 4 back-to-back, and the first part will not feature the main cast. It'll probably be because they've been split after the events of Cap 3.
And let's be honest.
And maybe the band will get back together by the fourth one.
Something that just got put into Robert Downey Jr.'s contract is that he doesn't have to do full shoots, but he can come back for cameos. Like,
right.
So, you know, in that contract.
I figure Chris Evans, assuming they don't kill Cap at some point, I figure Chris Evans will at some point just become S.H.I.E.L.D. director. Or Robert Downey Jr. could. They both have had the role.
Yeah.
In fact, by Civil War, I think Iron
Man
was
S.H.I.E.L.D.
director.
Yeah, Tony was the S.H.I.E.L.D. director. And I'm thinking, well, what do we have? We have 2016, summer of 2016. That's going to happen with Captain America 3. And I think that's a great spot for, say, a couple of Robert Downey Jr. cameos in probably the 2016-2017 season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If it keeps on going.
It kind of makes this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. really important, though, since it's kind of about trying to rebuild S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra's fucking around.
Exactly.
And Hydra presumably has... Well, I guess there an element of Hydra has a role in Avengers 2.
Yep. And Hydra's going to be around forever.
But just talk about focus, will it be?
Yeah, I kind of wish that AIM would step up a little bit. Because... Think about that, like.
Yeah, but, I don't know if I need AIM to. It seemed like their version of AIM was tied to Killian and might just honestly be crushed. And I feel like if you keep pushing with AIM, you're going to wind up with MODOK, which I don't want to see live action.
You don't want to see MODOK?
MODOK is a gigantic head.
Yeah. And Gary Shandling is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Fair enough.
I'm just saying, Senator Stern, played by Gary Shandling, is just a giant head.
This is true.
I mean, think about this.
But what if Baron von Strucker is working with remnants of AIM for his secret experiments with the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver?
Well, that could be true too.
Because there's some speculation that the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are standing in for von Strucker's actual twins in the comic, who he worked with AIM to grant superpowers to work for him and fight the Avengers.
Yeah. And, you know, they're going
to... So what if instead of his actual von Strucker kids, they're using the Maximoff kids, since they're not allowed to have their real evil daddy in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
That would make a lot of sense.
Don't you wish Disney had just driven a truck full of money over to the Fox studio?
Instead of Sony?
Yeah.
I don't think it would work that way, just because Fox
is
kind of...
Is Fox bigger?
No, Fox is kind of pissy right now.
Segue into that, Dickory. Do you want to take that one?
Yeah, let me start with a couple of months ago. A couple of months ago, before Days of Future Past came out, there was a thing that Fox was trying to sell all of Fox Unlimited or whatever to Time Warner. So every movie property that they own would go to Time Warner, which meant that DC would basically own the X-Men in film version.
I would like to think there'd be some clause that would prevent that level of bullshit.
Yeah. I would like to think that, but knowing how Marvel, how they fell on hard times before that, I kind of doubt that, seeing that...
Because X-Men is an older deal?
Exactly. I mean, I don't think Marvel was expecting to survive this long, to be honest with you.
You could tell with the first X-Men movie, nobody's really expecting this level of success, which is why that first X-Men movie, if you think about it, kind of sucks.
Yeah. Well, when you look back at it.
Very safe. The budget was kind of subdued. They weren't doing that thing that they do nowadays where they put you in a boot camp to make the fight scenes look realistic. That's why Wolverine versus Sabretooth was snooze.
Yeah. And
whereas if you look at X-Men Origins, as bad as that movie sucked, like, the fight scenes were pretty epic.
Yeah. And also, you know, the costumes. You know, they can get away with the actual costumes nowadays. Where in X-Men, remember, we're all going to wear black, and we're going to...
That was the thing back then, because of the budgets and how unsure of the marketability they were. They were like, let's update these to look like the Matrix.
Exactly.
And nowadays, like, look at Captain America. Like, Marvel's straight up like, no, people will accept the comic book version of the costumes, they just can't be spandex.
Exactly, yeah. And I'm kind of... The only, like, no to that is Scarlet Witch. If you notice, they're just like, we can't put somebody out there in a bikini. That's not going to happen. Or not a bikini, but like a one-piece.
Not a bikini. It's like a one-piece with sheer leggings.
Yeah. We're not going to do that. Let's update her to like a teen style.
Also, depending on the hero, people seem to be a little iffy about headgear. I think half of that, though, is marketability of the actors.
Yeah. But let's be honest. Hulk, in general. Mark Ruffalo does not look like the Hulk that much. I mean, I know it's his facial features and everything like that, and they try to put little things in, kind of the same way they do with cartoons. And they're just like, okay, this is the actor that plays that character. Let's put a little bit here, maybe a little bit in the eyes. But
well, keep in mind, with all that Disney access, Disney has the best animators in the business for that. They somehow made Simba look like fucking James Earl Jones and Matthew Broderick.
Why did they have to make Simba look like James Earl Jones?
Because adult Simba had to look like adult Mufasa, who looked like James Earl Jones in lion form.
Fine. Fair enough. And just remember that young Simba was Jonathan Taylor Thomas. So,
yes, he was, back when that was a name that commanded attention.
Yeah, and it doesn't anymore.
Amongst our demographic.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor Thomas was...
JTT's wound!
Yeah. He was our generation's Justin Bieber, I think. Just less annoying, and he actually had talent.
Also, while we're on this trip, remember the Lawrence siblings?
Oh, my God.
Me either.
Let's go back. Let's see. It started with Blossom, with Joey Lawrence, but actually,
whoa!
But actually, it started with Oliver and Company, with Joey Lawrence.
Yeah, right.
Joey Lawrence played Oliver in Oliver and Company. Then he did Blossom.
Good story.
Then he fell off the face of the fucking earth. And his brother Matt started to pick that stuff up, and they were just like, hey, let's
he
do it.
He was in TV shows, movies. He then was the star in Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad, and I think that pretty much killed it.
Well, no, I think it was Brotherly Love that killed it. When they're just like, we have another little brother, Andy. And now, now Andy is the voice of Nick Ramos in Dead Rising 3. And that's true.
Oh, was he?
Yep.
All right, so you know what? Lawrence Brothers are holding it down. I take back my criticism. Yep. Dead Rising 3 is the shit.
So, yeah, I mean, it's going from brother to brother, and Andy's not going to do anything after Dead Rising 3, but whatever. Back to Marvel and DC and all superhero things in general.
He'll be like the villain of Dead Rising 4.
Yeah. Or he'll just show up in a truck in Dead Rising 4, you know, with his new father-in-law. Yeah. All right.
I saw completely off topic, but hey, how I roll. Something came across some recommended thing on some service that I use about some movie. I think I wrote it down somewhere. Tell me if you've heard of it and you know the name. It's about some zombie apocalypse movie that's actually just post zombie apocalypse for the most part. A cure has been made if you've been infected. And, the main character's husband has it, and so he has to take this cure, and it's every day, or you start to turn again. And so there's drama about that, like, people don't want there are people who don't want the cured people in society, because what if they run out of the meds, or what if they don't take them and turn, and they're still a threat risk.
Oh.
And so it's sort of supposed to be examining the impact of society, more so than being about the zombies. And just as I'm reading the premise, though, I'm like, wait...
Dead Rising the movie.
Steal from Capcom?
Yeah.
I'm like, did you guys just wholesale steal from Capcom?
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And nobody that I saw discussing whatever this recommended article was or something seemed to really get that. Like, this is stole from an Xbox 360 video game.
Yep. Well,
I don't believe it's called Zombrex.
That's society for you. That's what we do. You know, in the United States, we just steal things and call it our own. That's how we got Windows.
True story.
And then my Xbox turns off on me.
Oh, I got so mad.
No,
they announced new iPads and the iPad Mini 3.
Oh, really?
It tried to turn off.
Yeah,
the iPad Mini 3, 128 gigabyte, only $600 if you know new iPads. That's generally kind of cheap.
That is very cheap.
Especially since I have two other iPad minis. I was like, I could sell those and get... Oh, wait, they're not updating it, like, at all, though. Like, really? The new iPad Air has that new chip that's in the new iPhones, and the iPad Mini 3 does not. It's just... It's got the Touch ID thing or something. That's it. I'm like, how is that an iPad Mini 3? How is that not, like, a 2 Plus or a 2C or something? Like, that's not a real update.
So, in other words, it's like the 5C of iPads.
But imagine that they called the 5C the 6.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right, let's get back to Marvel. The Fox Dickory. So, we started...
juicy.
Yeah, it is. It's a big juicy
thing. Chris, are you still with us? Are you just learning all the geek news?
I'm just listening.
All right. So, right after Days of Future Past came out, there was a couple of kids on the internet that went, hey, where are my Days of Future Past toys? And Marvel went, yeah, they don't have licensing for toys anymore. Marvel has all the licensing for toys. So they've taken all of the X-Men toys and Fantastic Four toys off the market. So those are racking up in value right now. You know, your Wolverine toys and everything like that. Then, as of recently, Marvel sent out a company-wide email and then made it public that they would not be creating any more X-Men characters. So, all
which
the
isn't a huge deal considering Fox has only tapped about 10% of the X-Men line.
Yeah,
if that.
And let's be honest, they haven't hit Starjammers. Apparently, the Skrulls are part of Fox as well, which I didn't know. The Badoon race,
X Factor, X Force, yet
the Starjammers. Yeah, so they have a lot to work with. But here's a couple of other things. You know that leaked, we talked about it before, the leaked Deadpool footage from, was it 2012 Comic-Con that we just got this year?
Yeah, I think it was 12.
Disney got their hands on it and leaked it to make a Deadpool. So that started this whole controversy, and Fox had to do what fans wanted and make a fucking Deadpool movie. Now, doing that...
Somebody at Disney was like, why the fuck aren't they making this movie? Leak the footage, let the people decide.
Exactly. But doing that also pushed back the Josh Trank Fantastic Four to 2016. Now, Ryan...
Listen to all of the people who don't give a fuck. Do you hear them?
Yeah, I know. Now, Ryan...
You know why? Because nobody heard we're rebooting our shitty Fantastic Four franchise and thought, ooh... Everybody, when you heard they might do Ryan Reynolds and Deadpool, was like, why aren't they doing it now?
Yeah. Well, Ryan...
Everybody wanted Deadpool. Nobody wanted Fantastic Four.
Let's talk about this for a second. What happens to the rights of Fantastic Four if a movie is not in production by 2016? For the Fantastic Four.
That won't happen, though, because it's already in production.
It's in pre-production. If it's not in production, it has to be...
They'll film a goddamn teaser. They'll film a teaser with their already hired and partially paid for actors by that point.
Hopefully. For them. But, also...
Yeah,
listen,
I don't give a shit, and if the Fantastic Four rights reverted to Marvel, I would much rather see Marvel Studios reboot the FF.
Yes.
Also because of the other dickery, I like Fantastic Four comics.
Yeah.
I don't read them religiously, but...
And then what just happened to Fantastic Four comics, Ryan?
They're canceling those in 2015, but let's even talk about this. Before canceling them, and I don't even think it's regular Fantastic Four, right? Isn't the only one running the Ultimate Fantastic Four?
Right.
Before they cancel that, what did they do to the regular Fantastic Four already that nobody really picked up on?
They killed off Johnny Storm.
Not only that. They changed the name and nobody noticed.
Oh, the Future
when
Force.
They show up in a cameo. Exactly.
The Future Force.
They show up in a cameo, you think, oh, it's the Fantastic Four. But they were the Future Foundation.
The Future Foundation, yeah.
And whenever anybody would go over to the tower, it would be like Ben and like four kids. Like, it wasn't really the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Valeria's so, hanging out with Dr. Doom all the time. Like, it's just really weird.
So, yeah. Marvel is slowly... putting cyanide in the water of their franchises that aren't at their studios to basically kill interest. And it's semi-working, if you think about it.
The shitty thing for some of us, like, I got into comic books largely because of the X-Men. That is still where I go to roost.
Yeah.
So I don't want to see the X-Men franchises, of which there are a number of good books right now, strangled due to this. Or the fact that they have a new Secret Wars thing coming up and they aren't advertising any X-Men involvement. While to a degree that makes some sense for where the characters are right now. Yeah. But still, like, I don't want to see this go the way of Fantastic Four where it's like we're canceling all X-Brands while Fox has this shit. On the other hand, I kind of understand where it's like if they design a new mutant, they immediately lose all movie rights to that mutant.
Yep. But luckily, if they design a new Inhuman, they still have the rights to the Inhumans.
Which is why the new Inhumans book reads like an X-Men comic.
Exactly. But, so they've done all of that. Fox is not without their faults, too.
I was adopted. I woke up one morning with weird powers. Someone showed up and was like, we can take you somewhere safe to teach you how to use these powers. But then someone else showed up and was like, let me tell you how to really use those powers and rule everything. I'm like, this is like watching a TV show. This is like Mutant X. It's like that TV show adaptation that isn't really licensed.
Yeah.
Except it is licensed. It's Marvel and the Inhumans.
Yep. But here's the thing. Fox is not without their own dickery. They kind of had a stranglehold on Mark Webb, who, if you remember, did The Amazing Spider-Man and The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Before The Amazing Spider-Man 2, he was contracted to do a movie for Fox. And it didn't come out until recently that that is the only reason that Fox had their little trailer for Days of Future Past at the end of Amazing Spider-Man 2. Which was just, you know, a, what, two-minute scene from the movie that was ridiculous anyway and didn't have to be in the movie.
I'm trying to think of which clip it was.
It was the one where we first see Mystique in the past.
Oh, when she beats up the guys, when she beats up Stryker.
Yeah, she beats up Stryker.
And saves Havoc and all them.
Yep. So
that's right, because it ended with her walking out of the camp and then transforming into J-Law.
Right.
For, like, no reason. I was like, wouldn't someone notice back in, like, this era, this random 20-year-old-looking hot chick wearing those stars?
Yeah. But,
by the way, just at least going from the tone of that link you sent me.
Yeah.
Is that thing that that I hate about the internet happening?
It is. Do you want to get into
Amazing Spider-Man 1 comes out, and you and I are like, that movie was pretty good, probably better than the Raimi trilogy. And, like, everyone on the internet was like, yeah, it's mediocre at best. This movie comes out, and I don't know about you, but I was kind of like, that was even better than the last one. I'm liking where this is going. Yeah. And now apparently the internet's like, it doesn't hold a candle to the superbness of the movie that 2 years ago we said sucked.
Yeah. And
like, apparently everybody hated Amazing Spider-Man 2, but now post-actively love the first one that they bitched about back then.
I actually really liked Amazing Spider-Man 2. I thought they handled the death of Gwen Stacy really well. Even well enough that they could do a Spider-Gwen later on.
Right.
Because you don't know if that was, you know, I think the, I haven't read Spider-Gwen, but if I heard correctly, the thing about Spider-Gwen was that the Gwen Stacy that died was actually a clone, because they were trying to get her power, like, try to figure out her powers at Oscorp.
We're not talking about Edge of Spider-Verse? Spider-Gwen?
I think, yeah, I think it's the Edge of Spider-Verse, right?
Edge of Spider-Verse had, yeah, yeah, well, no, because Peter in that was basically the Lizard.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. I don't know, I've read
Peter, she was the one who was bit. And Peter later attempting to be as, you know, special as Spider-Girl.
Yeah.
Did an experiment that turned him into a monster, and then she had to kill him, and that's kind of what taught her that great power has great responsibility.
Okay, fair enough. But, I mean, they could technically do a Spider-Gwen in the movies. After, well, they could have. If things didn't go through like they did last week, and we talked about it. Apparently, Disney has its hooks into Sony. And we're going to see Sony-produced, Marvel-developed films with
nice.
The Spider-Man franchise. What's still up in the air is if they're going to still go with Andrew Garfield and the Mark Webb web of whatever he has going, you know, with Sinister
right.
Six and all that stuff. Or if Marvel is just going to sit there and go, let's just redo the franchise so it fits within our universe a little bit better. Maybe, like, do an alternate reality. Maybe instead of having the Spider-Man, you know, the Peter Parker Spider-Man, maybe the Miles Morales Spider-Man, which is a couple of things that have been floating through the intersphere, as I like to call it, the internet. But the blogosphere has just blown up about that. And that's one thing that I'm not sure if they really do, but with them revisiting Civil War and having basically Iron Man and Captain America trying to tear at Spider-Man on the cover of the new Civil War arc that they're doing.
Yeah.
It looks like that could be where we're headed, and I actually would appreciate the fuck out of that if we had this whole thing where maybe there was a maybe it's not an Avengers movie, but a Civil War where we have a Spider-Man that's already introduced. We don't have to do a fucking origin story with it. And it's Cap talking in one ear, Stark talking in the other, trying to win over Spider-Man. And have it, you know, be like a fucking, you know, have fucking Oliver Stone direct that motherfucker.
Yo, Iron fucking Spider.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we all know that in the books, at least, Tony wins. But there's so many different ways we can go with this. Let's move over to a little bit of DC, though. Because DC, you know, they've pushed back Superman, or Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, which is still, like, the most annoying name in comic book movie history. Right above Hancock. But, okay, apparently I'm the only one that found that one funny.
Sorry.
But there are so many rumors and stuff going around. And the most recent one, a couple of months ago, they were filming in Detroit. And all they did was put up some Lex Corp signs and some Wayne Enterprise signs on the wreckage that is Detroit. And said, there was a fight here. And there was a girl by the name of Jenna Malone. I don't know if you remember her from the Hunger Games. Or Saved, or Dangerous Lives of the Elder Boys. She's a little girl, probably late 30s right now, but she still looks like she's a teenager. And
okay. Who'd she play in Hunger Games?
She played Joanne. Or Joanna, or whatever.
Oh, she's on Game of Thrones, okay.
Is she? No, that was... That's Maisie Williams on Game of Thrones. I don't think Jenna Malone is on Game of Thrones. Jenna Malone's done a whole bunch of... Bring out your iPad and check out IMDb. I don't think she's on Game of Thrones. I could be wrong.
Might be right. Hold on.
I think you're thinking...
Continue.
Yeah.
Continue.
Well, there was a guy who went on like he was fucking giving up the mob on the local TV station where they're filming a little bit. I think it's still in, it might still be in Michigan. But they're filming this party scene. And both Jesse Eisenberg's going to be there, Ben Affleck, Henry Cavill, you know, everyone from the movie pretty much is going to be there, including Jenna Malone. And the extra went on TV, face all blurred. He said that there's going to be a female Robin, as well as an altercation that brings in military between Bruce Wayne and Lex Luthor. So Jenna Malone, being on set, is trying to say that was it Carrie Kelly, the female Robin from the Dark Knight Returns book that Frank Miller wrote, which is what this movie is based off of anyway. So,
which makes some sense outside of potential timing issues.
Yeah. And just before that, we got a timetable of movies that are coming out. Now, not only are we going to get Dawn of Justice in 2016... but also a Suicide Squad movie in 2016.
Like, right fucking after it.
Yeah. What they want Will Smith, Margot Robbie, Ryan Gosling, and I can't remember who the other person was.
Ryan Gosling is going to be problematic. He doesn't do sequels.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everyone's like all over, we want to get Ryan Gosling, we want to get Ryan Gosling. But, he, like you said, he doesn't do sequels. So even if he was to, say, be Doctor Strange like they want, he's not going to do a sequel. He's not going to play the same character.
Unless they finally found his buying price.
Yeah. I mean, $10 million a movie for RDJ.
About to say, I can think of a number of actors who are like, well, look at Men in Black 3. Men in Black 2 at one point was like too expensive to ever happen.
Yeah, that's
and then
true.
It happened.
And let's be honest, Disney has the money. Whatever it is, I mean, they lucked the fuck out with Chris Pratt. I don't know, Ryan, were you here when I quoted Chris Pratt the other day? Like, there was a couple of weeks ago. Basically, Chris Pratt wanted to see
new Bond villain Chris Pratt.
No, Chris Pratt's not the new Bond villain.
I heard a rumor that he might be.
No, Dave Bautista. They were saying Guardians of the Galaxy star Dave Bautista.
Oh, is it just some of that bullshit where Movie Pilot uses the wrong picture and I didn't click it because it's Movie Pilot?
Right. No, Dave Bautista might be joining the ranks of Richard Kiel and the little Asian guy that played Oddball. Or Oddjob.
I'm about to say, we're not talking the main villain, no. Right? Dave Bautista could be like the villain's muscle.
Yeah, he's going to be a henchman. He's going to, you know, like the Black chick that was the henchman for Christopher Walken. I don't remember what her name was. He's not going to be, like the main villain at all. He's going to be, you know, someone that Javier Bardem hires. But I don't know, Chris Pratt, right after Guardians got really big, they asked him, like, what he'd like to see in a movie, like for Marvel. And he said, you know what, I'd like to see Iron Man come up to space and try to get with Gamora, break her heart, and then I'd kill him. Because, you know, Robert Downey Jr. gets paid $10 million to be Iron Man, and I will kill anyone for minimum wage. So, yeah, Chris Pratt wants to kill Robert Downey Jr. on screen. Not in real life. But yeah, so Suicide Squad, then going back to DC. Suicide Squad, which we still don't have any fucking actors for, really. We don't even know what the team's going to be. I'm assuming that since they want Will Smith, Bronze Tiger is going to be one. Everyone's, like, yelling about Harley Quinn, Harley Quinn, Harley Quinn. I doubt it. Seeing she's not one of the original Suicide Squad members. And isn't even on the... I don't think she's on the team right now anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not sure, like, who the team members are. I looked it up the other day. There were so many, like... There's Captain Boomerang 2 and Killer Frost 2. And all these, like, weird villains that, you know, aren't main villains. I don't even remember who Killer Frost, who her main superhero is. Wait, is that Green Lantern? Or
I honestly...
I know it's not Flash. Flash.
That's the problem with a lot of, like, B-level DC villains, is that there's a lot of B-level DC.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, when one of their A-listers has... One of his main villains is Captain Cold. Let's be honest.
Well, that's the thing, too, is, like, a lot of... The problem with DC, I think Marvel heroes tend to have stronger rogues galleries, not counting, let's say, Batman.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times, like, you know, The Flash, for example, like, Mirror Master, really?
Yeah. Multiplex.
Yeah. Like, Flash's rogues gallery, outside of the guy who looks like him but yellow, kind of sucks.
Nega Flash or Professor Zoom, depending on...
Right, that's the other thing, too. Like, you don't even know which one you're talking about when you use the description of him.
Yeah. Which I'm beginning to think... Not to give any spoilers for anyone who didn't watch Flash. I'm beginning to think that Professor Zoom is, what's his face in the wheelchair? And he came back in time and basically created the machine that gave maybe his mother or his grandmother powers.
Mm-hmm.
And he just inherited them later on. Like, he inherited them, the speedster powers, later on, and then came back in time, accidentally killed Flash's mother, or killed Flash's mother to create the Flash, and then went to the regular time to try to build up this character. So the guy that Barry's actually looking for is the one that's helping him become the Flash.
Yeah.
Just, you know, fan speculation.
Still kind of sucks that they're going to be two Flashes active.
Yeah, that's another thing. DC kind of fucked themselves up.
Not only that, but they really fucked themselves up by announcing that this new guy that they want in the role is playing Barry Allen.
Yeah.
I still think if they wanted a different person, they didn't have to shoot themselves in the foot. He could have been Wally, for example.
Exactly. He could have been Wally West. Though, I mean, and here's the thing. We don't know what time period, really, Man of Steel even falls into. But, you know, all of this stuff that's happening that we're watching right now in the series, since they want to hook up not just Gotham, Arrow, and Flash, but they also want to hook in Constantine, that's starting, or Constantine, if you're Dave, which is starting up next Friday. They want to hook those all together into one television universe. Who's to say that's not happen? That's not what's happening, like, a little bit in the past. And Dawn of Justice is a little bit in the future. So you could have Wally West up there. I mean, we could, we're going to have Nightwing in Arrow this year. We have the Atom, Ray Palmer.
And if we have Nightwing, that means Batman's been active somewhere for years.
Exactly. And we already know if Jenna Malone is playing the Carrie Kelly Robin, then Batman has been active for years. Because between Carrie Kelly and Dick Grayson, well, what do we have? We have Jason Todd. We have, shit, what's the other kid's name? Dick Grayson, Jason Todd. Fuck. Why can't I think of... Tim Drake. That's what it is. Tim Drake.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then we had Damian Wayne, and then we had Carrie Kelly for that time when Batman was hospitalized for the broken back and Dick Grayson took over as Batman. We had Damian Wayne as Robin.
And then he maintained Robin in New 52.
Yep.
Because New 52 was a weird soft reboot of their franchises. And Batman's backstory kind of stayed the same, whereas a lot of characters like Superman were different.
Yeah.
To a degree.
And, super-
and then Damian died, so he doesn't have a Robin, but now he seems to be trying to resurrect Damian or something.
And what,
but he comes back as a vampire.
So there was... So Dick Grayson...
Batwoman became a vampire recently.
Really? I didn't know they had vampires in DC.
Yeah, Batwoman, not to be confused with Batgirl.
Yeah. Which is, shit, what's her name?
Batgirl just got, not rebooted, but reinvented to a degree.
Yeah, well, Batgirl was,
it's a more fun girl powery series, but it's actually, I read the first issue because that's the only one that's out so far, and it's not bad.
And that was another one. Barbara never became Batgirl in the New 52, right? She's always just been Oracle.
No, she is.
She is?
No, she's Batgirl.
Oh,
yeah.
She is? She's not in the wheelchair anymore, though.
No.
Oh.
I'm not sure if she ever was.
In the New 52?
Yeah.
Oh. Alright, well, never mind then. I gotta start reading New 52. Stop
yeah,
reading.
Batgirl's been up in it. I remember, I think she fought Cassandra at one point.
Cassandra Cain?
There's this other chick who looked, yeah, but I'm not 100% sure on that. And I know she had this big rivalry with this chick who looked like a Sith Lord.
All right. But as I was saying.
But they just kind of, they. She looked a lot like she looked on Young Justice.
Ah, okay.
And they just kind of reinvented her, though. She's got a bit more of a sensible costume. More buckles and slightly less look at my jutting tits.
But that was the best part.
Not that her costume, like, wasn't... It wasn't the type that had, like, the deep cleave. It wasn't, like, Power Girl, for example.
Yeah.
But, it did kind of have this, like, super tight leather look at my bust kind of look to it.
Like Catwoman?
Yeah, for example.
But, yeah, so we have these TV crossovers that are happening little by little. I mean, we saw in Gotham the Queen Consolidated logo in Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple of different things going on between Arrow and Flash, of course, since Arrow started Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen anything from Constantine because we haven't actually fucking seen Constantine yet. But I'm... bet there's going to be little things here and there that you can pick up on. And yeah, there's no reason that DC cannot have a DCCU, if you will. Like a DC cinematic universe that Marvel has with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Daredevil coming out next year. You know, we have Luke Cage and we have Daredevil coming out next year, Luke Cage right after that. Iron Fist right after that, and Jessica Jones right after that. Then after when all those are finished, we're going to have all of them in the Defenders miniseries. Then after that, they're going to go into the season twos of all those shows. So, you know, and all those are connected into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Speaking of which, at New York Comic Con, they did reveal what Daredevil is going to look like, and it's not the the red that we were used to. He kind of looks more like a blind Solid Snake, if you will. It's got that all black costume with his eyes covered. Like if Solid Snake and Zatoichi the Blind Swordsman had a baby, it would be Matt Murdock.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
True story.
I haven't read anything on the footage that was shown, but I heard it was pretty good. And only pretty good because, you know, right after the New York Comic Con, no one really, like, there are three or four articles about the footage that was shown. Nothing really big, though. So, yeah, and so, what were the... Ryan, do you remember the other movies with 2017?
No, not without looking at the graphic.
Yeah, I don't know where these movies fall, but I know we're getting Wonder Woman, we're getting Aquaman, we're getting a Flash movie, and we're getting a Green Lantern reboot. So, and we're getting a Lego Batman movie with Will Arnett. Not sure if that falls into the category of anything.
Yeah. Oh, Will Arnett.
But, I mean, as I was saying, you know, we are the internet, so we are kind of bullshitting about this whole thing. I mean, like, well, why don't they have a conjoined universe? But yay that they have these, they do this stuff where they're just like, hey, you know, people are getting older, so we're going to move on to this next actor because who plays the same character. Just like the comic books do. So maybe that's how they're going to handle it. You know, like I said, every issue of a comic book that's drawn by a different guy is going to look different from the guy before. Unless you're going to have, like, you know, somebody draw the character. I mean, even John Romita Jr. compared to John Romita Sr. is different. So, Take it all with a grain of salt. The shows so far are really, really good. I almost shed a tear last night when I finally got to watch Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
That episode was like was pretty much heartbreaking. At the end.
Yeah.
Fucking. Oh my god, what's his name? Just Oliver Queen looks up at John Diggle and just like, John, I don't want to die down here. And just like, holy shit. This is darker than anything the Dark Knight ever brought to the table. And, yeah, that was... So, the shows are going strong. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., again, was another one that was kind of heartbreaking. And I'm kind of weirded out that they're bringing, like, their A-game right now. Because it's not even Sweeps Week. You know, and we saw how good Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got at the end. If they're bringing this kind of emotion and stuff, especially between, you know, we didn't care that much about Fitz and Simmons in season one until the end of season one. And now you're sitting there going, you're like feeling for Fitz and Simmons. Like every time Fitz is thinking about Simmons, you have it in the back of your mind. Holy shit, she's with Hydra. What if she gets caught? She's not really there. It's like an emotional roller coaster right now.
There's two Simmons.
Yeah. There's a, what do you call, there's a Simmons inside Fitz's head, and then there's the Simmons that's real, and she's working for Hydra as a double agent, the same way that Ward was working for S.H.I.E.L.D. as a double agent. And that just fucks with your head when you figure that one out, too.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's and it's all, you know, congruent with the movies. And I think that might be what DC's holdup is a little bit, now that I'm thinking about it. These shows got started, like Arrow got started before this whole DC Cinematic Universe idea.
So I kind of felt like they were sort of had an idea because they didn't go quite the Smallville route, but...
Yeah. I mean, it kind of... But I also think that they feel like they don't have enough licensing control over the storyline. Where Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was basically brought to Marvel by Joss Whedon, saying, hey, this is what we want to do, and we want to tie it into everything that's going on in the movies so people don't get bored or don't, you know, they hear about the movies and stuff like that, but they have something on a weekly basis between the big summer blockbusters that we're going to have so they can keep up with the stories. Because here's the thing, we can wait from week to week, or even sometimes from month to month, for a new comic book, a new issue in that story. But if we're going, you know, the whole winter without the next thing in that story, it's hard to keep a lot of people's focus. A lot of people, you know, the internet is the prime example of that. Iron Man 1 came out. Everyone's like, oh my god, it's Iron Man 1. They want to do Avengers. And then, you know, we had Incredible Hulk, and people were like, it's incredible. And, you know, Thor and then Iron Man 2. And people are just like, you know, we just keep on waiting for this stuff. And they're foaming at the mouth for Iron Man 2. And when Iron Man 2 was fucking as bad as it was. And it wasn't bad, it was just like, it was Jon Favreau going, look, I can do an ensemble piece, and Marvel going, no, because it
wasn't bad, it was just kind of not good.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad film, it just, you could see where the love was, but it was a passion project, not a film for an audience. It was like a college film. For, you know, for Jon Favreau to be like, look what I can do. And to prove it to himself, I think. And then Marvel's just like, well, you can still be Happy Hogan. Do you mind dying? And, you know, so you have that, and I think after Avengers, what Joss Whedon did with Avengers, I think just paved the way for everything after that. Because we've all been Whedon fans for years now. I mean, Ryan, you probably were before I was. I didn't jump on the Buffy.
I'm OG, son.
Yeah. I didn't jump on the Buffy bandwagon until probably first season Angel. You know,
I jumped on the Buffy bandwagon back when Buffy was a movie.
Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't jump on that bandwagon until first season of Angel. That was after Firefly. It had pretty much died.
Yeah.
You know, and so I wasn't really part of that Joss Whedon experience as much as a lot of other people were. And just the fucking Browncoats in general, the fans of the Firefly series flocked to go see Avengers.
Yeah.
And made it the highest grossing ensemble film in the world, or in of all time. And you have the people that just watched Buffy and Angel that went to see that film. Everyone that was just like, oh my god, Wesley was the other.
Yep.
And yeah, there's so much that Joss Whedon has brought to the table just from being Joss Whedon. The story didn't have to be awesome. It just had to be, you know, from Joss Whedon. I think it would have done well anyway. But with his TV knowledge and all that, and the knowledge that he has with, you know, the internet, because, let's face it, a web series that gets nominated for an Emmy, that's not the Guild, you know.
Yeah.
That's pretty big with, you know, I'm talking, of course, of Dr. Horrible's sing-along vlog.
Yep.
Now, that's pretty big. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to attract the fans. And I think...
He knows what the ladies like.
Exactly. And I think a lot of it, you know, a lot of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s success is him just going...
A lot of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, a lot of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s success.
I thought that's just May.
Yeah. But a lot of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s success, I think, is just him knowing to go, all right, guys, I know you're not liking this right now, but just wait. We have a plan. You guys remember season one of Buffy? We had a plan. The only thing I think he didn't really have a plan was the end of Angel. Is that kind
he
of
wasn't just, actively creating it at that point anyway, I don't think.
Because that just kind of ended abruptly.
And then they had the comic.
Yep. But you don't see really anything out there that's like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. into the Marvel Universe. And might be smart for DC to distance itself from that, since they kind of stole their idea of for Dawn of Justice from the Avengers. And hopefully Zack Snyder can handle all of these egos in one movie and doesn't pull a Favreau.
I think what scares me is how many egos are just on the daily being announced for this movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ezra, whatever his name is, that's playing Barry Allen, they don't know if he's going to technically be in Dawn of Justice as anything but Barry Allen, like a cameo type thing. Gal Gadot, or Gadot, or however you pronounce her name.
Gadot.
Gadot.
Something. I think it's Gadot.
Yeah. She, you know, she's going to have a big part, but it's probably going to be a muted big part. It's not going to be something like she's going to come in the third act. It's not going to be like she's going to be there the entire time as Wonder Woman. Same thing with Jason Momoa as Aquaman. Probably, it's all probably going to come to a head at the third act, not throughout the movie. They would be fools to be like, well, we're going to introduce this character from the beginning, like they did with Natasha Romanoff, even though it worked, kind of, in Favreau's film. It's not going to work if you introduce all these characters all at once and not have it be basically the Bruce and Lex show.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
Wayne's going to have to come over, seduce Lois Lane a little bit, and then, you know, try to do his detective stuff on Lex. And find out that Superman's trying to do the same thing with Lex, but Superman doesn't have all the detective skills that Bruce does.
Puts this sounds a lot like the world's finest from the animated series.
Yeah. And that's kind of what it is. That's kind of what you have to do. And then at the... You almost have to approach it like New Frontier. If you remember, New Frontier wasn't about the main superheroes. It was all about John Jones. Basically, he comes
That's
in.
That's the Martian Manhunter for those at home.
He crash lands. Green Lantern has to figure out like where he's from and stuff like that. While John is blending in. And Batman has that great line that I always like to repeat is... I spent $1 billion on a little piece of rock to kill the other alien. All I need to take you down is a penny book of matches. Which is awesome. And only Bruce Wayne could, or only Batman could deliver that line and make it stick into anyone's head and just like, and give it the power that it actually has. And, at the end, I don't think if you, I don't know if you saw New Frontier. At the end of the thing, there's like this whole fight between, you know, there's communist Russia and everything, and there's a comet coming down, and since there's been a fight between all these superheroes trying to see who's the best and who's the bravest, and they're kind of clashing just because they're all trying to do the same job. And they all have to come together to fight this one alien force that crash lands in the middle of the ocean. And I think that's what we need. They're going to basically, you know, we have Superman, and he's saving the stuff. He clashes with Batman. And then something happens where Lex Luthor pollutes the ocean or whatever. So Arthur Curry becomes the new bad guy. Because he's trying to wash away the sins of Lex Luthor. In doing so, he washes away Amazonia or whatever. And so now you have... all in the third act, pretty much. Wonder Woman coming in to try to stop him. And you have this four-way fight. Where...
You usually have to pick double for that kind of action.
Yeah. Actually, more of a five-way fight. You have Lex Luthor trying to kill Superman. Batman trying to stop Lex Luthor. Then you have Aquaman trying to stop Batman to get to Lex Luthor. And then you have Wonder Woman coming in to try to stop Aquaman because he's ruining the world or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And that's the third. That is probably going to be your third act of Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice. And you may have other characters come in. Because let's be honest, if something gets flooded, you need the Flash. He does that little whirlwind thing and brings it back into the ocean. That was the other one that
I like how the almost meta approach going on the Flash TV show where it's just like, should you really be doing this? I mean, all you can really do is run really fast. Well, I'm gonna help people.
Okay.
I was just kind of like pointing out though, it's like the Flash's power isn't that super, except for the fact that writers get really creative with how he can be super with his power.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing about how he can heal faster now.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Metabolism.
Yeah.
Also, did you notice though he's like Quicksilver fast?
Yes.
Not like Flash fast.
Yeah, he, that was the weird thing. That whole slow motion Quicksilver scene in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's just like going through. And I'm not sure if that was. That's the thing. I'm not sure if that was real life or if that was him in his head.
Or was it just fantasy?
Yeah, exactly. It might have just been him in his head. But, was that you that got a message or me?
Nah, that was me.
Oh, okay.
Trying to turn the alert volume down or off or what have you.
But, yeah, I mean, that is my way of seeing how this is probably going to go. Also, the thing that struck me, and I forgot to talk about this earlier when we were talking about new DC movies, because we were kind of stuck on the Suicide Squad for a while. Cyborg mm-hmm. is getting his own movie.
Right. And
I think that's DC's middle finger to Marvel, going, hey, look, we've already announced our black superhero.
And the black cyborg's not getting a movie.
Hmm?
And the yeah. black cyborg's not getting
yeah,
a movie.
And your black cyborg is not getting a movie, but ours is.
In fairness, Marvel's black cyborg wasn't really movie material.
No.
Whereas well, DC's Black Cyborg is, like, core group.
Well, if you did Sinister Six.
Maybe.
Yeah. Which we still don't know.
They can't. Well, maybe could now, but.
They could now, but we don't know if they're going to go with the Sinister Six. Or Amazing Spider-Man 3. Or Venom. I think those are all three of those movies are on the chopping block right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see if we get any of those from Marvel. Which, you know, is a shame, but you know what? I didn't need to see a Venom movie as much as I need to see Spider-Man fight Venom first.
Like, Venom, can we have Venom be good in a Spider-Man movie
yeah.
ever before we worry about that?
I mean, yeah, that's the whole thing.
Like,
know.
I'm not even really that mad because the whole, like, we're going to have Sinister Six and Venom plan just reeked of stupidity.
Yeah. Well, like, here's the thing. The Sinister Six, they were trying to make the Sinister Six kind of like the Suicide Squad, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of, that was stupid to me. The Sinister Six is not the Suicide Squad. They, maybe one time during Civil War, were they ever like that? And I think they were led by Spider-Man at that point to hunt down people who weren't trying to who weren't registering. No, I think the actual thing they were part of the Thunderbolts at that point.
Let's not forget the eventual Superior Six.
Let's forget that.
That's when Otto captured the Sinister Six and tinkered with them in a lab, like a mad scientist does.
Of
and
course.
Brain controlled them to be his personal hit squad as a superhero.
Yeah. That, you know, that's,
like you do.
That, yeah. Well, when you used to be a villain for so long, you know, you only know a couple of things. You know, one of them is mass-producing brainless zombies. With powers.
Mm-hmm.
Forgetting all about the massive responsibility.
With great power comes minions!
Yeah.
And a girlfriend.
Oh, that was the other thing. With this new merger, we can also have Silk come in. Who has the greatest way of putting on her costume ever.
Part of me is weird because, like, on the one hand, I don't dislike her, but on the other hand, she's a little Mary Sue in some ways. She just, like, shows up and Peter Prude Parker is just, like, tonguing her in public.
Of course.
Peter, who has, like, a Clark Kent size stick up his ass. It's like dry humping her in front of friends and family.
Well, let's be honest for right now. When Peter first met her, she was a little girl, I'm pretty sure, right? Could this be Peter's midlife crisis?
Well, how old is she?
I don't know.
She's bit by the same spider, right? So it can't be more than 10 years apart.
But I thought she was...
I don't know how old he's supposed...
Yeah.
So, like, he's probably, like, 30-something to her 20-something, you know?
Exactly. It's Peter's midlife crisis. He'll get over it. But maybe not after he makes a few mistakes.
Well, they have the whole pheromone thing going on.
Yeah.
I like how he was, like, cock-blocked by Otto's girlfriend.
Well, here's the other question. If they do have a baby, does she then, like, devour him afterwards?
Doesn't matter how it's sex.
Exactly. Just wondering if she... That could be the end of Spider-Man. That could be an awesome end of Spider-Man.
Well, remember when she came out, she was like, holy crap, Morlun's coming? So it's totally going to be, like, an end of Spider-Verse kind of... Or Edge of Spider-Verse thing.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, I don't completely understand, like, the Spider-Verse plot line yet. Like, I'm following it and liking it, but I don't understand, like, what their power set is.
Well, isn't there, like, a pig Spider-Man?
Spider-Ham.
Spider-Ham? Yeah.
Yeah.
Spider-Pig. Oh, thank you, Fox, for giving us that. But, yeah, which was, it's kind of weird because I think that's when Peter Parker accidentally touched an amulet that, the one that changed Thor into a frog, changed
mm-hmm.
Peter Parker into a pig,
mm-hmm.
if I remember correctly, from watching Ultimate
well,
Spider-Man.
Spider-Ham showed up in, the last, issue of Edge of Spider-Verse.
Ah, God. Yeah, I'm hitting my head with the
alternate universe spider. He was actually kind of cool though too.
I'm gonna hit my head with the microphone again. All right, explain why Spider-Ham is cool. Explain, Ryan.
Kind of cool.
Huh?
I said he was kind of cool in the issue.
Yeah, explain how.
I don't know, you gotta read it.
Bastard.
Not much happened at that point anyway. So it's not like I can say, like, oh, he did this cool thing. Just kind of his attitude kind of sold me.
Fair enough.
Kind of had this, I don't know, I guess kind of had, like, this Howard the Duck-ish. You know, yeah, I'm Spider-Pig, fuck you. Without even really going into it. It was just, like, there's a throwaway line, and then in general, he just kind of had a flippant demeanor that was kind of endearing.
Nice. Actually, I would love to see, like, a movie with, like, Rocket Raccoon and Howard the Duck and other anamorphic or
yeah, right?
Anthropomorphic beings just in a movie having to fight something like Old MacDonald or something. I'm just a kid's show for that. I don't know. I'm still hoping for, you know, a Howard the Duck movie announcement with the same guy who voiced him in Guardians of the Galaxy playing him. Do you know who voiced him in Guardians of the Galaxy?
Who?
Mr. Seth Green.
Was it?
It was. Seth Green voiced Howard the Duck. If he could, I mean, let's be honest. Synonymous with geekdom is Seth Green.
Yeah, pretty much.
So having him come in, voicing Howard the Duck for a Howard the Duck movie, would be awesome.
I would take it.
As would I. Just Howard the Duck coming in random almost like Stan Lee-esque cameos for no reason would be awesome as well. I would take that too. You know, just not, he doesn't have to do it like in Iron Man or Thor or anything like that. Well, maybe mm-hmm. Thor, but Guardians of the Galaxy, if they do a Planet Hulk movie, he just has a Stan Lee cameo. That would be awesome.
Yeah, really.
So I think we're going to end it here. I know we said that there's a lot of dickery from DC, but it's more dickery to DC. But so on and so forth. As we get more information, we will bring it to you guys on the regular podcast and all that jazz. But until then, you guys have a good week. Like I said, we didn't want to leave you guys with nothing this week, so that's why we did this. So, signing off for Ryan and Chris, because Chris fell asleep.
Sauron's not in this game.
That was kind of scary, because like it went through Chris's microphone, and so it gave it this like echoey thing.
This ethereal Uruk chanting.
Yeah. All right, guys. See you next week.